grace is the basis of our relationship with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to embrace the sustaining power of God's amazing grace.
Did you know the fact of the matter is that Paul was one of the greatest Christians? He had more faith than perhaps anyone in this room, and yet God did not choose to heal the Apostle Paul. Instead, he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes we want God to do a removing job, but He wants to do an improving job within our heart.
In our fast-paced world of heavy demands and competing responsibilities, spiritual survival is a challenge. In our series, Transformed by Grace, we will discover how to fuel our spiritual tanks with the sustaining grace of God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God's grace strengthens and sustains us. Yet many Christians never fully understand how grace should affect their daily lives. Through today's series, we will discover how to experience the victorious Christian life by God's transforming grace. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called God's Resting Grace.
How many of you that know the Lord as your Savior would say that if all Jesus ever did was save you by His grace, then you were blessed beyond measure and beyond what you deserved at that moment right there? And yet God says, besides salvation, I'll give you my word, I'll give you the church, I'll give you Christian fellowship, I'll give you the ability to live your life with a purpose. God says, I'm going to give you grace upon grace upon grace. And in 1 Peter, we see that God is encouraging His children in the area known as Turkey today, the early church there in Asia Minor. He is encouraging them that despite their problems and trials, that God had grace for them, and God had inner strength and joy for them, despite the challenges that they faced. Now, we know that the Christian life begins with saving grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." If you're here this morning and you think that you're saved from hell, and you have a home in heaven because you've been good, you've been to catechism, you've been to Christian camp, you've been to Bible school, or your granddaddy was a Baptist preacher, all of those things fall short of God's perfection. The only thing that pleases God is the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's not of works. It's not of our pedigree. It's not because of what we do that we are saved, lest any man should boast. And so salvation begins with the grace of God. But not only does God give saving grace, but God gives serving grace. In order for us to live the Christian life, then we must be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the outline there this morning, I've given you several ways where grace is needed in order to live the Christian life. For example, we must have sanctifying grace. If in this life you are going to live a life that is honorable to the Lord, you are going to avoid the temptations of this world, then we must have God's inner working of grace to set us apart from this world. If you will be faithful in your family life, if you will be faithful in the Christian life, it's not because you had so much strength, it's because God's grace was at work in your heart. We need sanctifying grace. We need sacrificing grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, the Bible speaks about giving unto the Lord. Now listen, you can give to an offering for a season under guilt or pressure, but if you're going to live your life being generous to the Lord, that is only possible by the inner working of the Holy Spirit. That is only possible as you grow in the grace of giving. There's sanctifying grace. There's sacrificing grace. Sacrificing grace. There's singing grace. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians, singing with the grace of God. There is speaking grace. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Let your speech be always with grace." If someone cusses you out tomorrow at work and someone's mean to you and you look at them and say something kind and you are graceful, how many of you would say, "That's the Holy Spirit working in my heart. That's not me normally. I can in my flesh retaliate." You see, if we're going to be living lives that bring honor to the Lord, then we must be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we are going to see that God is desirous to give to us a resting grace. He wants us to rest in Him concerning salvation and concerning the Christian life. Now, rest, even physical rest, can sometimes be hard to get and hard to experience. I heard of a lady recently who was having a tough time sleeping, and she had some coffee before she went to bed, and she was just restless. She got up and walked the hallway. She went and laid down on the couch of the living room. About 3:15, she came in the morning and laid back down by her husband, who now somewhat was awakened, and she said, "Honey, I start to drift off, and I dream a little bit," but she says, "but then I wake up with a jerk." Her husband looked at her and said, "I'm not a jerk." And sometimes we have trouble just getting a good night's rest. Someone said the amount of sleep required by the average person is about 1 hour more. How many of you would agree with that? I would agree with that. You know, we have a hard enough time getting physical rest, but God says even when you are physically weary, I want to touch your heart, I want to energize you with my grace, and I want you to have grace for this pace that you're living in the life that I have given to you. And so God's grace can give us a spiritual rest. Let's see how this morning. Notice first of all, if you would, God says, I want to give you grace when you are suffering. God says, when you're going through those difficult times of life, when Satan is opposing you, I want to give you grace to see it through. When you're at your place of work and you're a working mom and you're there with a bunch of gals who curse and say wicked things and denigrate your faith in Christ and your church and so forth, God says, I want to give you grace to stand up to that. God says, when you're bombarded at work with things that are against the Bible, I want to give you grace for those times. Now notice in verse number 8 what the Bible says. It says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God says he wants to give us grace when we face satanic opposition. When we are facing satanic opposition. My friend, there is a real devil today. And he is seeking whom he may devour. He wants you to disappear from your lovely family. He wants you to vanish from the pew where you sit this morning. He does not want you bringing glory to God. He would not desire you to be in the house of God. He'd be thrilled for you to sit at the bar stool of the average bar in town, but not to sing praise in the choir of the church. He is walking about seeking whom he may destroy. I want you to know that Satan will come and he'll promise you the best, but he will pay you the worst. He will promise honor, but he will pay you disgrace. Young men, listen to me this morning. Satan will promise you pleasure, but he will pay you with pain. Satan will promise you profit, but he will pay you with loss. Satan will promise life, but he will pay death. Satan is a liar this morning. I hope you understand this morning, your enemy is not your spouse or your teenager or the guy at work. Your enemy and mine this morning is the devil himself. And when Satan comes fighting against you, it is then especially that we need the inner working of the Spirit, that one who is greater within us than the one that is in the world. We need God's Spirit to strengthen us against the satanic opposition that will come. James 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus said on his time of temptation, he looked at the devil and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we also must stand on the word of God when temptation comes. Paul the Apostle was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. I want you to know that if Satan would fight the Apostle Paul, Satan will fight us as well. Look in your notes there this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Bible tells us of Paul's testimony. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, and I believe this was a physical infirmity, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now think of this for a moment. Paul had a physical infirmity. Three times he said, Jesus, would you heal me? Jesus, would you take this away from me? Would you remove this from me? There are those television teachers today who would say that you are not right with God if you are not healed from every physical infirmity. Did you know that it is not always God's will to heal someone? Did you know the fact of the matter is that Paul was one of the greatest Christians? He had more faith than perhaps anyone in this room, and yet God did not choose to heal the Apostle Paul. Instead, he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes we want God to do a removing job, but He wants to do an improving job within our heart. Sometimes we want God to calm the storm, but He wants to calm our heart within the storm. And so He said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. Paul, I'm going to give you the strength to go through this time of satanic opposition." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said, "If I have to have this disease in my body in order that I might know the power of God in my life, then so be it." Because his greatest desire was to know Jesus Christ. Why don't we be honest about it this morning? Sometimes when our heart is aching the most, and sometimes when life is not going the way we had planned at all, it is during those times that we get closer to God. It is during those times that we really pray. It is during those times that we really listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And God's grace begins to make a difference in our life. God says, when Satan attacks, my grace will be sufficient. Notice secondly, during personal afflictions, not only satanic opposition, but during the times of personal afflictions. Notice in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 what the Bible says. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now Peter says, I want you to recognize, church, that the afflictions you are experiencing are common with other Christians too. Have you ever noticed that bad things happen to good people? And the afflictions of life will come. You say, well, I don't believe that. You haven't read the Bible much. One of the greatest men of God that ever lived was a man named Job. And yet Job suffered trials and afflictions like very few men ever did. And we see from the Word of God that afflictions will come into the lives of good people. But thank God when they come, God's grace will be there again to help us through. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Here's one of the verses that God has used in my life, and I just want to encourage you with it this morning, maybe to underline it or memorize it. Here's a verse that will help you when afflictions and trials come. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." This is what Peter said. Peter said, these afflictions are in your brethren also. Paul said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God says when the temptations gather round you and when the pressures come upon you, if you will look, that by His grace He will provide an escape hatch. He will give you a way out. You don't have to ruin your marriage. You don't have to ruin your family. You don't have to lose your testimony. You don't have to get angry and cuss. You don't have to find yourself falling down every time. God will give you grace in those moments so that you might glorify Him during the times of personal afflictions. Corrie Ten Boom was a godly Christian woman who lived during the World War II era. Some of you have read her testimony, how she was placed in one of Hitler's concentration camps. Corrie Ten Boom had read in the Bible the verse that says, "In everything give thanks." And she had tried to give thanks. She gave thanks for the boards that she slept upon. She gave thanks for the air that she breathed. Every day she thanked God for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one thing she just had trouble being thankful for, and that was the lice that had crept into her body. In fact, many of the women in her barracks were so infested with lice that they just could find no relief. She said to her friends, "I'm having trouble being thankful for these lice." Well, some days came, it was nearing the time when she would be rescued from that prison house. And on one occasion, one of the guards was speaking to some of those who inhabited the barracks where Corrie Ten Boom lived. And as they were discussing the life there in this prison house, The guard revealed to this friend of Corrie Ten Boom's that the only reason the ladies in that barracks had not been raped and ravaged was because of the lice that were in their bodies. Corrie Ten Boom said, "I then learned even to be thankful for the lice that were in my body." My friend, sometimes we don't understand the trials of this life, but God always has a reason. And He will always give a way of escape. And He will always give us grace when there is time of suffering. God says, "I'll give you grace for suffering." God says, secondly, "I want to give you grace for strengthening." You know, when you're going through this fast-paced life and you're commuting 30 miles and 60 miles to work and you've got kids in Little League and soccer and you've got to run to get prescription medicine and run to get the groceries and you've got family that has trouble, during all these times, we need the strength of God today more than ever. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace." By the way, how many of you like that phrase like I do? The God of all grace. That's who our God is. How many of you are glad you don't worship a stone idol today? How many of you are glad you don't worship the rocks at Sedona or the crystals or something else? We worship the God of all grace this morning. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." By the way, there's no way to have life eternal apart from Jesus Christ. He's called us to this glory by or through Jesus Christ. Notice, "after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now let us see this morning how God wants to give us grace to strengthen our lives. First of all, we see that God will give us grace for the completion of our faith. For the completion of our faith. How many of you here this morning are willing to say, "My faith is not complete. I am not mature yet completely as a Christian. I'm still growing"? Are we ready to admit that this morning? There was a group of tourists going through Europe. Boy, they saw so many beautiful chapels and churches and historical monuments. Napoleon had been here and so-and-so had been there and King Edward had done this. And boy, everywhere they went, they were just enthralled with the history in Europe. Well, they came to a little village in the German countryside. There was a man on the front porch of the store there in the village. And one of the tourists went up and began to try to communicate with this man. He said, "Sir, was there ever a real great man that was born in this village?" The man thought about it. He said, "Nope, just babies." You know, the fact of the matter is there's no such thing as an instant strong Christian. You know, salvation is the miracle of a moment. When you are born, it's the miracle of a moment. But becoming a mature Christian is the process of a lifetime. And we see in this verse a word that is so important. Verse number 10, "After you have suffered a while, make you perfect." If you are taking notes this morning, the word perfect means having reached its end or having become mature. God says that He wants to comfort our hearts and He wants to establish us by His grace unto every good work. God says that He wants to make us perfect. Now, it is during the trials of life and the difficulties when God often does the innermost work of your heart and mind, and when He completes our faith and matures our faith in the Word of God. Notice, secondly, the establishment of our faith. The Bible says here in this verse, number 10, that He may make you perfect, and the Bible says, establish you. Establish your faith. You know, God wants your faith and mine to be firmly fixed on Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 57 and verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." And we need Christians in this hour who are established Christians, not running here and there and up and down, but who are on Christ, the solid rock. And then notice not only the completion of our faith and the establishment of our faith, but also the strengthening of our faith. Notice it in verse 10. "Make you perfect, establish, and strengthen you." Now, I have good news this morning. God has power to strengthen your faith and mine. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And God has a purpose in strengthening us. God doesn't strengthen us so we can walk around saying, "Well, I'm a great Christian. You ought to be lucky I'm a member of this church. And I just want you to know, I'm a strong Christian." That's not why. Notice what Jesus said in Luke 22:32. He said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said to his disciples, now when you become complete and mature, and when you are strengthened, then I want you to go out and strengthen someone else. God says the purpose for strengthening our faith is so that tomorrow at work, you might be the witness that God has called you to be, and so that we might be the salt and light in this community that God has called us to be. He strengthens us so that we might serve. Now listen very carefully. There are folks serving in various ministries right now as I speak, and that's a wonderful thing. And many of you are witnessing and serving God and having devotions with your family. But God did not create you to be a human doing. God created you to be a human being. In other words, He wants you to be something with Him before you do things for Him. And God says, I want to strengthen you in your heart so that you won't burn out. I want to fill you up with My Word so that you won't crash and burn. God says, I'm strengthening you for this purpose, that when you go out in that workplace tomorrow, you might not go in the energy of your flesh, but you might go in the power of My Spirit. For it is not by My might, but it is by the Spirit of God that we can do the ministry God has called us to do in this day. And we need the strengthening of our faith today more than ever before. Listen, everything of this world is coming against your faith, and Satan wants to devour you. But God says, I want to strengthen you. God says, I have grace for you when you're suffering. God says, I have grace for you when you need strengthening. But notice thirdly this morning, God says, I have grace for you when you need settling. Now, I want you to look with me at one word here in the Bible. By the way, how many of you believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration? Every word is important. Amen? Amen. Every word. We believe in this church in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. That is, we believe that every word is a God-given word. So let's look at the last part of verse 10. Notice what it says. Settle you. Now, let's just say those two words together, shall we? Settle you. God says, I have grace. I'm the God of all grace. And I have grace to settle you. Now, folks, very few people today are settled. We live in a mobile society. People are from job to job, marriage to marriage, church to church, angry, happy, all kinds of emotions. Very few people are settled. Some people are unsettled about whether they would go to heaven someday. Some people are unsettled about the love of God. Many people today are restless in their spirit, and they are not settled. But God says, I want to settle you. I want your life to be a life that is settled and that is productive by My grace. Now, if we will have a settled life, then we must in the first place be settled on a foundation. We must have our lives settled on a foundation. And may I say to you this morning that God's Word is our foundation. The Word of God is our foundation. Oh, how we thank God that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for instruction and for reproof and for instruction in righteousness' sake, the Bible says, that we might grow in the Word of God. Now, I've learned about building programs, and I've learned about the importance of foundations during the building programs of our church. We've seen many millions of dollars of buildings built here. And it's amazing, after months and months of doing the plans and months of plan check, and finally the city puts a stamp of approval, and we've had some offerings and we've been praying, and all of a sudden it's time to start a building. I remember when this building started. You know, we didn't immediately start putting steel in the air. You know, the first thing we did, we started digging a hole in the ground. And we place rebar and then tons of concrete. Why? Because the most important part of a building is the foundation. And the most important part of your spiritual life is the foundation.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. Or go to dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.